Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to talk about the debt limit in the USA. The USA currently has an approved debt limit of $31.4 trillion. But unfortunately, that limit simply isn't enough to keep funding the US economy. So you may be thinking, well, who really cares about debt limits anyway? The USA will simply increase that limit, borrow more money, and life goes on as normal. But unfortunately for the USA, it's not quite as simple as that, because in order to increase the debt limit, it needs to be approved by Congress. And in the USA right now, the Democrats and the Republicans have completely different views in terms of how this increase in the limit should be addressed. The House of Representatives recently approved an increase in the debt limit of $1.5 trillion that was proposed by the Republicans. However, that increase comes with a variety of conditions, including spending cuts. Now, Joe Biden and the Democratic Party have made it very clear that they don't want to introduce any spending cuts. They just want the debt limit to be increased with no strings attached. And that's why we have a problem. And whilst this political bickering is going on, Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, is getting concerned that the USA will hit its debt limit as early as the 1st of June. And in a worst case scenario, if the USA did run out of cash by that date, it could potentially default on its debt, which would have major implications both for the USA and also the global economy. So in today's episode, we'll talk about the concept of the debt ceiling in the USA. We'll have a look at the current situation in terms of how much the USA is spending and what the current amount of debt is. We'll have a look at the recent letter that Janet Yellen sent to the House of Representatives regarding the potential default of the USA's debt. We'll talk about how the USA has built up such a large amount of debt, who's actually been providing that debt and how much it costs. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 months and what the implications of this are for the US economy and the global economy.
The yeas are 217, the nays are 215, the bill is passed.
In a mostly partisan vote on Wednesday, the U.S. House of Representatives narrowly passed a bill to raise the nation's $31.4 trillion debt ceiling, defying President Joe Biden by attaching sweeping spending cuts for the next decade.
We've done our job.
The vote was a win for Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who hopes to lure Biden into negotiations on cutting spending.
He's putting the American economy in jeopardy by his lack of action.
However, the White House and congressional Democrats have been insisting on a debt limit increase with no strings attached. And if Congress fails to act, the U.S. Treasury Department could run out of ways to pay its bills in a matter of weeks. The bill proposed would increase Washington's borrowing authority by $1.5 trillion or until March 31st next year, whichever comes first, potentially setting up another debt showdown ahead of next election. It would also slash spending to 2022 levels, cap growth at 1% a year, repeal some tax incentives for renewable energy, and stiffen work requirements for some anti-poverty programs. McCarthy called on Biden to begin negotiations on a debt limit increase and spending cut bill, and for the Senate to either approve the House bill or pass its own. After the vote, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Biden would not sign off on such cuts, adding, quote, "The president has made clear this bill has no chance of becoming law." The president himself had some choice words when asking about extending the debt ceiling earlier in the day.
That's not negotiable.
A 2011 standoff over the debt limit led to a downgrade of the government's credit rating, which pushed borrowing costs higher and hammered investments.
So unfortunately, from the USA's perspective, what we're seeing is that the two major political parties have completely different views as to how the increase in the debt limit should be addressed. The House of Representatives have officially approved the Republican plan. However, this now has to move to the Senate. And for viewers who are not familiar with the legal process in the USA, I thought it was worth taking a moment just to talk through how laws are made. The US House of Representatives website provides the following details. Laws begin as ideas. First, a representative sponsors a bill in the House of Representatives. The bill is then assigned to a committee for study. If released by the committee, the bill is put on a calendar to be voted on, debated, or amended. If the bill passes by simple majority, which requires 218 votes out of 435, the bill moves to the Senate. In the Senate, the bill is assigned to another committee, and if released, debated and voted on. Again, a simple majority, 51 out of 100 votes, passes the bill. Finally, a conference committee made of House and Senate members works out any differences between the House and Senate versions of the bill. The resulting bill returns to the House and Senate for final approval. The government printing office prints the revised bill in a process called enrolling. The president has 10 days to sign or veto the enrolled bill. Now, as you saw earlier in this video, President Biden has made it clear that he will not approve the proposal put forward by the Republicans, and therefore, even if it did make it through the Senate process, he would have the ability to veto that bill at the final stage. And in a nutshell, that's why we've got a problem in the USA, because the two major parties have completely different opinions in terms of how this increase should be addressed. And unless they manage to work out some form of middle ground, there is a real risk that the arguing continues past the 1st of June, and the USA therefore could actually officially default on its debt. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to tell you about their amazing 3-year deal where you can get full coverage for $1.99 per month, including a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's fantastic news that it will protect you from hacking and tracking and data breaches. But what's also great news is that it can save you money and open up a whole new world of entertainment, because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription. And Atlas VPN is currently offering an amazing 3-year deal where you can get full coverage for $1.99 per month, including a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. So to purchase this exclusive Joe Bloggs offer, please click in the description below. So let's have a look at the root of the problem, which is basically the amount that the USA is receiving in terms of its income and the amount that it's spending. The US Treasury Department releases a monthly statement detailing the receipts and outlays of the US government. And this table summarizes the position for the month of March. So on the left-hand side here, we've got all of the receipts, which are shown in light green. And on the right-hand side, we've got all of the outlays, which are shown in blue. So you can see that the largest receipts in the month, equating to $151 billion, were individual income taxes, followed by social insurance and retirement at $133 billion. The next largest receipt is corporation income taxes at $11 billion, then excise taxes at $8 billion, customs duties at $6 billion, and then we've got miscellaneous and estate and gift taxes, which make up $4 billion combined. So in total, all of the receipts in the month equated to $313 billion. Now, in terms of outlays, the USA spent $115 billion on Medicare, another $115 billion on Social Security, $87 billion on income security, $86 billion on health, $84 billion on national defense, $67 billion on interest, $42 billion on education, $40 billion on veterans benefits and services, $26 billion on commerce and housing credit, and $30 billion on other. So that resulted in a total outlay of $691 billion in the month, which equates to a deficit in the month of March of $378 billion. So basically, the USA was spending a lot more than it was receiving. If we now look at the same data for the first quarter of 23, you can see that total receipts for the first 3 months of the year were $2.05 trillion. However, total outlays were $3.15 trillion, which means that in the first quarter of 2023, the USA incurred a net deficit of $1.1 trillion. And this really summarizes the problem that the USA is facing, because it's continuing to spend more than it's earning. And this is one of the reasons why the Republican Party wants to introduce restrictions on spending as part of the increase in the limit. And alongside the monthly inflows and outflows of capital, the USA also publishes a full schedule of federal debt. And this statement shows that at the end of March 2023, the USA had $24.7 trillion of federal debt held by the public, and an additional $6.8 trillion held by intragovernmental debt bodies. And the total debt outstanding of $31.4 trillion means that the USA is right up against its approved limit. This letter, dated the 1st of May 2023, was sent by Janet Yellen to Kevin McCarthy in his position as Speaker of the US House of Representatives. It reads, "Dear Mr. Speaker, I'm writing to follow up on my previous letters regarding the debt limit and to provide additional information regarding the Treasury Department's ability to continue to finance the operations of the federal government. In my January the 13th letter, I noted that it was unlikely that cash and extraordinary measures would be exhausted before early June. After reviewing recent federal tax receipts, our best estimate is that we will be unable to continue to satisfy all the government's obligations by early June, and potentially as early as June the 1st, if Congress does not raise or suspend the debt limit before that time. This estimate is based on currently available data, as federal receipts and outlays are inherently variable, and the actual date that Treasury exhausts extraordinary measures could be a number of weeks later than these estimates. It is impossible to predict with certainty the exact date when Treasury will be unable to pay the government's bills, and I will continue to update Congress in the coming weeks as more information becomes available. Given the current projections, it is imperative that Congress act as soon as possible to increase or suspend the debt limit in a way that provides longer-term certainty that the government will continue to make its payments. Additionally, Treasury is suspending the issuance of state and local government series Treasury securities. SLGS are special purpose Treasury securities issued to states and municipalities to help them comply with certain tax rules. When Treasury issues SLGS, they count against the debt limit. Treasury will take this action to manage the risks associated with the debt limit, but it is not without costs, as it deprives state and local governments of an important tool to manage their finances. We have learned from past debt limit impasses that waiting until the last minute to suspend or increase the debt limit can cause serious harm to business and consumer confidence, raise short-term borrowing costs for taxpayers, and negatively impact the credit rating of the United States. If Congress fails to increase the debt limit, it would cause severe hardship to American families, harm our global leadership position, and raise questions about our ability to defend our national security interests. I respectfully urge Congress to protect the full faith and credit of the United States by acting as soon as possible. Sincerely, Janet Yellen." The US government, similar to most countries around the world, borrows money in order to pay for all of its bills. Now, I'm asked the question all the time, who do governments borrow money from? Who's actually lending money to these countries? Well, the simple answer to that is you and me, because the way that governments raise money is through the issuance of bonds. And those bonds are bought by a variety of different institutions and countries, but predominantly financial institutions such as banks, insurance companies, pension funds, all of the people who gather money from you and me when we put our money into savings or pensions or all those sort of things. They need somewhere to actually store that money to make a return on it. And buying bonds off the US government is seen as a very safe way of storing that capital. So when the US government wants to borrow money, they will issue bonds, and those bonds will be bought by all of these financial institutions. And that bond may have a life of 10 years. And over the course of the 10 years, the US government will pay interest to those bondholders, so they're making a return. That's the yield that they will get off the bond. And at the end of the 10-year period, they will have to buy that bond back for the same value as they issued it at. So for example, the US government may issue a 10-year bond with a 2% coupon, which means that each year they'll need to pay 2% interest to all of those holders. And at the end of the 10 years, they'll buy back that bond for $1 billion. So that's basically how government debt works. So it's similar in some ways to you and I going to the bank and asking for a loan. But the key difference with national debt is that it's self-governing. A country has to decide how much it's prepared to borrow and what the limit is. And this is known as the debt ceiling in the USA. And the debt ceiling is fixed and cannot be broken unless the US Senate approves an increase in that limit. This chart shows the movements in US debt over the last 100 years. The scale on the left-hand side is measured in trillions of dollars. So you can see that prior to World War II, the USA had very little debt. Post-World War II, the world required a lot of investment, and the total amount of debt increased to around $5 trillion, and it remained broadly flat until the start of the 1980s. In the 20 years between 1982 and 2002, the total outstanding debt increased from around $3 trillion to around $10 trillion, so a marked increase over that 20-year period. However, in the last 20 years, debt has increased from 10 trillion to more than 30 trillion. So a marked increase in the amount of debt. And throughout this period, the US authorities have constantly had to adjust the total debt ceiling, so the approved amount of debt, to make sure that the amount of drawn debt stays within the approved limit. And the most recent approval was voted through in December 2021, when the debt ceiling was increased to $31.4 trillion. Now, in terms of assessing the amount of leverage that the USA was taking on, it's important to bear in mind what the GDP of the country was. And this chart shows the percentage of debt to gross domestic product. So this basically is looking at the amount of debt in each year and the amount of GDP and seeing whether or not on a relative basis the USA was taking on more debt compared to what it was producing or less debt. And what this shows is that between 1950 and 1980, the percentage leverage fell from almost 100% to around 35%. So that basically meant that GDP was growing at a faster rate than the amount of debt. So overall, the USA was reducing its leverage, which is obviously a good thing because that reduces pressure. And the reason that we're looking at leverage is that it's trying to calculate how manageable the debt is. And if you're thinking about this in personal terms, you could compare your salary to how much debt you have. So if your leverage was 100%, that would mean that your total debt equated to your total salary. So basically, you'd borrowed one times your annual salary. If your leverage was at 30%, that would mean that your debt equated to around 30% of your salary, which obviously is much more comfortable in terms of being able to pay the interest and also make the repayments. If we now look at what's happened since 1980, you can see that leverage has increased significantly from the low of around 35% to the current level of 124%. So that represents an increase of more than three times over that period. So basically, the USA now, today, has more than 100% leverage, which obviously puts a lot more pressure on the economy because as the level of debt goes up, as we just saw in the previous chart, so does the interest cost because you're having to constantly pay all of the coupons on those bonds that you're issuing. And if your leverage percentage is rising, then the new debt may cost you more because your rating may fall and therefore debt becomes more expensive. This chart shows the breakdown of who's actually holding the government bonds that have been issued by the USA. And if we focus in on 2022, you can see that the vast majority of the bonds, $24.5 trillion worth, are being held by the public. And the public here basically means non-governmental organizations. And this chart shows a breakdown of the different institutions and countries that are holding that debt. The bar chart in the middle shows the US institutions that have invested into the bonds. And you can see that these are split between state and local pensions, insurance companies, private pensions, state and local governments, depository institutions, households and other investors, and mutual funds. In terms of the foreign holders of the debt, they're split between Switzerland, the United Kingdom, China, the Eurozone, Japan, and a whole host of other countries. And then the final group of bondholders are the Federal Reserve. And jumping back to this chart, the section at the bottom, which relates to $6.9 trillion worth of bonds, are held by other governmental institutions in the USA. So they're referred to as intergovernmental holdings. And this chart shows the movement in the interest cost or the coupon charges of the governmental debt between 2013 and 2022. And you can see two notable things here. The total amount of debt has increased from $16.7 trillion in 2013 to $30.93 trillion in 2022. And just to clarify, 30 trillion is 30,000 billion. So in this nine-year period, you can see that the total amount of debt has almost doubled. And there has been a significant increase over the course of the last 3 years. Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic led to an increase in the amount of debt as the US government had to support all of the furlough schemes and other support schemes. And then following directly on from the COVID pandemic, we had Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which drove up the price of oil and gas and commodities and has led to further support schemes. Now, in terms of the average cost of the debt, that's shown by the line chart at the top of this graph. And you can see that in 2013, the average cost was 2.43%. However, during the COVID pandemic, when the debt started to increase, we saw a marked reduction in the interest costs as a result of all of the governments around the world reducing interest rates to virtually zero. However, over the course of the last 12 months, we've started to see an uptick, and the current average cost is 2.07%. However, as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, interest rates are on their way up, and it's likely that they will rise again over the course of the next 12 months. So if we now compare the interest costs in 2013 to what they are today, the total debt of $16.74 trillion with an average cost of 2.43% would equate to an annual interest cost of around $407 billion. That's the amount that the US government would have to pay to all of those bondholders. Today's average interest cost of 2.07% against $30.9 trillion of debt equates to $640 billion worth of interest. So that means that the annual interest bill for the US government has increased by $234 billion, which is an increase of more than 50% over the last 9 years. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the possibility of the USA actually defaulting on its international debt obligations would have major ramifications both in the USA and also all around the world. The USA is the single largest economy in the world. It's a powerhouse. And so in that context, it seems ridiculous to be even talking about a debt default. But the problem that the USA has is that it set its own internal limit. It's limited the amount of bonds that can be issued to keep funding all of the government spending. And in order to approve its own limit, there needs to be agreement between the Democrats and the Republicans. And therein lies the problem. What we've got right now is a political debate that's been going on for a long period of time. This has been a popular topic over the course of the last 10 years or so. And what we're seeing is that both parties are taking a stance. They've got different views as to how this issue should be addressed. The Republicans want to introduce spending cuts to limit the amount that the USA is spending each month. However, the Democrats are saying that they absolutely won't agree to any terms and conditions. They just want the limit to be increased. So what we're looking at right now is political brinkmanship. Which party is prepared to bend to meet the other's requirements? And as it sits today, there doesn't seem to be any middle ground. And the problem that the USA is facing, as Janet Yellen pointed out in her letter, is if they leave it too late, if they leave this to the very last minute, it could have serious ramifications. Because if the USA does actually default on its debt, then officially all of the rating agencies will have to downgrade it again. It has happened before. And that would mean that all of the debt would increase in price. That would put a further burden on the US economy because they'd have to pay more interest each month. And so potentially that would accelerate the USA hitting the next debt ceiling earlier than expected. So we could find ourselves in another situation like this within the next 6 to 12 months. And if this keeps repeating itself, if the US political parties are unable to agree some form of way forward, then we could potentially see multiple downgrades of the USA debt. And that would then become a vicious circle as the interest rate bills continue to go up. So what we have here is a case of self-inflicted problems. The USA has set its own debt limit. It's now finding it difficult to agree a way forward in terms of increasing that limit, which could cause a default and cause the economy problems. But those problems wouldn't be limited to just the USA, because as I mentioned, the USA is the biggest economy in the world. So if this issue does result in major problems in the US economy, that will have a knock-on impact to the rest of the world, because the USA is one of the biggest buyers for most countries' exports. So if the USA goes into slowdown or some form of recession as a result of a default, then without a shadow of a doubt, that would cause a slowdown in most other economies around the world. And we could see a self-inflicted recession in the USA spreading all around the world. And of course, this is all coming at a very bad time because the world economy is still sitting on a knife edge. We've seen a major slowdown in the global economy over the course of the last 12 months or so, partly as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, increases in oil prices, all of the associated topics that we've been talking about for the last 12 months. So the last thing that the global economy needs right now is the USA shooting itself in the foot because its politicians can't work out the best way to increase this debt limit. So it's going to be really fascinating over the course of the next few months to see what actually happens in the House of Representatives and the Senate. At this point in time, it seems absolutely crazy that the USA haven't worked out a simple mechanism to be able to increase its debt limit. But we are where we are, and there is a possibility that if the political wrangling goes on for much longer, that the USA could find itself at the point where it can't find a way to increase that limit and therefore technically defaults on its debt. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. If you've liked what I've said today, please give me a thumbs up. Thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And here's something to put a smile on your face.